Welcome to episode 40 of Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent and trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today is a very special edition. I'm talking again with a woman who has been my coach, mentor, and I call her my secret VO weapon, Jody Gottlieb. Listen in as Jody talks about the biggest challenges she sees talent facing, the hidden language of specs, and way more. Here's our chat. Jody Gottlieb, my voiceover guru, thanks for joining
me. Thank you. I saw your tweet. I love being called the secret weapon.
You are my secret sauce.
So let's dive in here. You have an upcoming class, which I'm super excited about. Hence part of the reason why I wanted to talk with you again, because it's called All About Auditions, which I think is a fabulous title. And I know you're really going to be supporting talent in this new way that we're having to work, which is mainly auditioning from home. So what do you think the biggest challenges are now for talent that are auditioning from home?
Well, it is lonely in the booth.
Yeah, it is.
I think the biggest challenges are truly being objective.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to judge yourself while you are talking. You can't really hear what you're doing. And when you play it back, nothing's going to be as good as somebody else telling you that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, it's difficult to be confident in your choices when there's no feedback.
And be objective too.
Being objective, that's very, very difficult for everybody.
So how do we get better at this? You talk about the hidden language of specs. What do you mean by that?
I love specs. They're usually so poorly written, I get a good laugh out of them. I love specs. And what I've been discovering in my deep dive into specs is that sometimes you get more from what they don't say than from what they do.
Meaning, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, if they say we're looking for a mom, well, that doesn't really tell you much. But if that's all they say, you can be any kind of mom you want. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out what kind of mom are you. What does professorial mean to you? If they go further and say, we want something professorial, but we don't want it to sound like a lecture, those are my favorites, right?
Yeah, we want a real conversation. Don't talk at us.
Exactly. So if they're telling you what they don't want rather than what they do, that's helpful in an odd way. They're saying they're not quite sure what the definition of that is. I used to bristle at celebrity references, but I have evolved and
you've evolved to appreciate the celebrity.
I have, actually.
Within the spec.
Again.
It's funny, me too. You must have rubbed off on me.
Yeah, because I'm not, again, it's what they're not saying. When they give you a celebrity reference, they're not saying they want you to do a voice match.
Right.
If they want that celebrity, they can get that celebrity. So they're not looking for a voice match. What they're looking for, in fact, which is what they're not saying, is tone and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we see so many times voice matches, and they'll list three or four of them that really don't go together.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting hearing you bring that up, because I just had a conversation with a casting director here in New York, Elizabeth Bunnell, and she was talking about celebrity references and how it's not about sounding like the celebrity,
right?
But calling forth that essence or that tone, attitude, like you said.
Exactly. So I have evolved in it, and my head no longer explodes when I see celebrity references. Okay. The other thing about hidden specs is that the hidden language of specs is that they often contradict themselves.
So what do you do with that?
Well, what that tells me is they're not sure how to describe what they're looking for. So it is up to us to find that middle ground. They're giving you the extremes of, I want this, and yet I want this, which are complete opposites and contradictions. So what they're not saying is we want something in the middle where we can defend it either way.
So would you advise a talent then? I know exactly what you're talking about because I've seen these specs and it makes me crazy to the point where sometimes I want to just ignore the spec where it'll say, we want quirky and bubbly, but also dry and wry. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Exactly. Exactly. I was working with specs the other night in a class I was teaching that I couldn't stop laughing when I read them. Wry, dry, and dismissive, but friendly.
It's like, what? So do you suggest that one take go for the dry and then have a second take that's more the perky? Or
yes, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah,
you're allowed to send two takes or more unless otherwise indicated. Mm-hmm. And yes, you address one thing at a time.
When you coach talent in finding the meaning of the message, what are two or three areas you focus on?
Well, the basic question you have to ask yourself is, what are you selling? Mm-hmm. What is the product? What does it mean to you? But what is the product? And how does this differ from all the other competitive products out there? What is the end benefit of this particular product? And then once you figure out that, you know, McDonald's is selling food at a cheap price, how does that differ from what are some of McDonald's competitors?
You know,
Burger King. Mm-hmm. How do those two things differ? And you don't even have to be right. You just have to make a choice about what those things are. Let's say we're talking about McDonald's. Personally, I don't eat McDonald's, but you want to, they're all going to be inexpensive meals. So you want to sell the delicious, the tasty. And not being a McDonald's eater, I would have to transfer that to something I do enjoy. So you compare that, it's like, all right, I don't eat McDonald's. I'm not going to tell them that.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm going to eat junk food, a fast food, not junk food, let's not call it that. If I'm going to eat fast food, I'll go to El Pollo Loco. Quite delicious, inexpensive. So as I'm talking about McDonald's and the deliciousness of that, I would be thinking and visualizing El Pollo Loco. You transfer that to something you do find delicious in that category. Pretty easy to make that transfer. Once you figure out what you're selling, in that case, it would be delicious and inexpensive. Then you read the copy when you're doing your mumble read, which we'll talk about in class.
Mm-hmm. Love the mumble.
Love the mumble. Once you do that, if it's not in the specs, then you decide what your tone is. How are you approaching this? Is this, you know, a dad on dad's visiting day bringing his child McDonald's so it's warm? Or is it a harried mom tossing bags of food to her kids in the back of the minivan? It's like, just eat already, you know? So if it's not on the page, you make the decision of how do you tap into that emotion.
Now, I just want to back up for 1 second. When you talked about what are you selling, because I could see someone thinking, well, wait a minute, I thought I'm not supposed to sell. I thought I'm supposed to be a real person and not salesy. And you see copy all the time in the spec where it says not salesy, real person conversation.
All the time. That has seemed to take the place of the word conversational.
So what do you mean when you say, do you figure out what you're selling? Do you just figure out what the product
is? Product is, mm-hmm. Yes. Because, you know, they are selling something. That's what a commercial does. They are selling something. And when I use the word selling, I don't mean be selly.
Right.
I mean, what do they want you to buy? What is the benefit of the product as compared to competitors?
So the first thing you would say in terms of finding the meaning of the message is figure out what is the intention of this product for the consumer? What are they selling?
And exactly.
What's the
benefit? I love the word intention.
That's my theme for my life right now. What is my intention? But then you also look at how do I feel? So you figure out what you're selling or what your intention is, and then how you feel about that particular product or service. Yes,
exactly.
Okay.
To determine what the tone should be. And you'll get that more from the copy itself than the specs. Now, I've seen specs that have been very specific and helpful, where they'll say, here's a perfume ad, and it's all about sex. Well, that's very helpful. Once they go into, this is a perfume ad, and we want to talk about, you know, how confident you feel when you wear this, that's okay. You know, that changes the tone of the read. But we have to then look at the copy and see what their intention is. Are they looking for confidence in sex appeal or confidence in a business meeting?
Yeah, totally different.
Right.
So what's one thing you recommend for approaching auditions?
The number one thing is, beside the mumble read, which I'm hugely fond of, the one thing I recommend is, before you look at the copy or as you're doing your mumble read, turn on your recording program and record a cold read. Stop, listen back, be as objective as you can be, and listen to the notes you're hitting, the pace you're going. Don't worry so much about pronunciation and hitting all the words and leaving out words. Don't listen to that. That's going to help you with your interpreting specs in terms of what your initial instinctive approach is. Then you read the specs. You'll be surprised at how close you get.
Mm-hmm.
So record a cold read. Listen back objectively. You shouldn't have to make as many changes as you think. Although there will be times that you will record a cold read, listen back, and delete it. And that's okay. That's okay. That's fine. But it gives you something to compare, something like the, I can't think of the word, your baseline. That will give you your baseline.
And sometimes, I mean, I'm sure you recall when we first started working together, and still even now I fall into this where I just could not hear myself. And I would go back and listen to our time working together, or I'd go back and just listen to a cold read that I do. And because I was so fixated on, I want to sound like a real person, I want to be real conversational, that right. I wasn't hitting anything at all. It was just so vanilla.
I think that's one of the challenges of recording alone in a booth with the specs that we're being given, with mm-hmm. the style that's being booked now. We don't hear, if you listen to people in a restaurant talking, they're not speaking in that, what we're calling a conversational tone for commercials anymore, which is a little flatter than the way people really speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So when we hear that, it's coming across as bland, as uninteresting, and mostly it is, But that's what they're asking for. So that's why it's important, as much as you can, which is 99% of auditions, to give two reads. And I absolutely stress there are ways to approach this. Your first take should be what they're asking for. And that will be the read that you're listening to that you don't really like that much, but you're addressing the specs. Mm-hmm. That's what they ask for. That's what you give them. The second read is where you're really going to get booked. And that is allowing a little more of your personality to come through. It's not going to be old-time announcer, but it's going to be like you and I truly having a conversation. Mm-hmm. There are going to be highs and lows and uneven pacing while we search for words kind of thing. A more natural read.
Yeah, and I often find that for me, at least when I'm doing the audition, I will swap the second take to be my first take.
Yes,
my first take is more connected to me, right, you know?
Right, right. We do that a lot together, Tina, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. Among other things with the triggers, which
yes,
people can learn about from you if they sign up for your I'm Excited. All About Auditions is coming out in what?
October 9th.
And it's 4 weeks?
4 weeks. It is it's 2 hours a night, 7 to 9 on the East Coast, 4 to 6 here on the West Coast, and everything in between.
Awesome. And how can folks learn more about that?
I think jodygottliebvo.com. Or you can email me directly at jody@jodygottliebvo.com.
Beauteous. Jody, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. You know, I think you're fabulous and you've done wonders for me and my career. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to be in your class, and so I'm looking forward to it. And I will be talking to you soon.
Yes, Tina, I have to say that lately we've been having to reschedule some of our conversations and some of our even auditions that need... And it's because you're booked.
I know.
And I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
Me too. Me too. Well, you are my secret weapon.
Thank you. Just, you know, feel free to keep changing our schedules. We love it.
Be well.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned next week for episode 41, where I'm talking with the creators of voiceover actor websites, Joe Davis and Karen Barth. We'll be talking about why a strong website is essential for voiceover talent, what platforms to use for creating a seamless website, the importance of SEO, and way more. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.